Time now for the Chatham County Roundup. We will be talking with Chatham News and Record publisher Bill Horner. Bill joins us on the phone. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brighton. How are you?
I am doing pretty well. You know, trying to keep my head above water, filling in for Aaron, and I feel like I'm doing all right, but it makes me appreciate what a great job he does, what a great job he does every day with all the things he has to juggle.
Yeah, that's a tough gig. I never cease to be amazed when I'm in there in the studio with him, how he manages all of it. He's such a great host, too. He's pretty remarkable.
It is pretty remarkable. And as is the Chatham News and Record, and I imagine your upcoming election coverage, it's got a pretty stellar record in the past. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because Chatham County's got five contested local races coming up in November, and everybody is going to be very interested in these, as they are usually, but I mean, especially this year with everything that's going on. So let me get this straight. You've got two Chatham Board of Commissioners races, you've got a Board of Education race, and then the North Carolina House race and North Carolina Senate race that you guys will be largely focusing your coverage on, correct?
Yeah, actually, we've got a little bit more. We actually have three commissioners races and two school board races.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
And then you've got the two legislative races. Yeah, if you go to the State Board of Elections website, and anybody in North Carolina can do this, but you can go and get a sample ballot for your county. And it'll blow your mind. It's, you know, it's a presidential year election, so they're usually long. And in Chatham County, the ballot is two very full pages. So the races that we just talked about, the three commissioners races and the two school board races and then the legislative races, those are going to be primarily the races that we're focusing on with our coverage. But, of course, we've got congressional races as well. We've got a couple of uncontested races. And then you've got president, governor, lieutenant governor, and then again, if you've looked at the ballot, you have all sorts of district court judges, court of appeals, North Carolina treasurer, and lots more. So when you go vote, whether you're doing it early or in person, or you're getting an absentee ballot, you need to be prepared to take some time with that ballot.
Absolutely. So a lot to cover, both locally and nationally and in the state. I'm curious what the News and Record's coverage plan for all of that is going to be.
Sure, yeah. Well, of course, we're going to focus. We're a local newspaper, so we're primarily going to focus on the local contested races. So for us, it's the commissioner's races and the school board races, and then the House and Senate, the state House and Senate races. So from a commissioner standpoint, Chatham County is unique in that it has five county commissioners. A lot of counties in North Carolina have seven. Chatham County only has five, which has always been fascinating to me. And three of the five are contested. So you have the District 1 race, which is between Karen Howard and Jay Stobbs. Karen is the incumbent Democrat. She's actually the current chairman of the Board of Commissioners. So she's facing off against Jay Stobbs in that District 1 seat. In the District 2 seat, you have Mike Dasher, who's a Democrat. He's a longtime member of the board, a former board chairman. He's facing off against Jimmy Farr, who's a Republican. And then in that District 5 seat, you have Andy Wilkie, who's the lone Republican on the Board of Commissioners, and he's facing Franklin Gomez Flores. And Franklin Gomez Flores is an interesting guy. He's actually registered as a Democrat, but he's running as an unaffiliated candidate. But if you drive around Chatham County, you'll see that the three of those, that Franklin Gomez Flores and Karen Howard and Mike Dasher, are campaigning kind of as a ticket, just like Jay Stobbs and Jimmy Farr and Andy Wilkie are campaigning as a Republican ticket. So those are the three commissioners' races. And it's going to be interesting because, one of the big issues that we faced in this past year was the commissioner's decision to have the Confederate Memorial Monument removed.
Of course.
And so there's a lot of conversation about that. So we're going to be covering that race particularly. We've got a story in this week's paper that kind of gives, and the paper comes out, hits the streets tomorrow. It gives really a broad bird's eye view of the elections, but we're going to follow it up next week with a deeper look at the commissioner candidates, and we have questionnaires that we sent to the candidates, so we're going to be publishing those responses. So that's what we've got first, and then right on tap from there, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be following up with the Board of Education races, and again, we have two contested races in the for the Chatham County School Board for the District 1 seat. We have Melissa Halavik, who is an incumbent, and she is facing off against two candidates, Ryan Armstrong and Timothy Winters. And then for the District 2 seat in the Board of Education, we've got David Hamm and Dennis Lewis, who are facing off against each other. And those are nonpartisan races. In Chatham County, the Board of Education is nonpartisan, so they're not designated as Republican or Democrat. So that's where our primary focus is going to be, on those five races. And, of course, we've got the State House and State Senate races, which are, you know, very critical. Of course, Chatham Party is a part of the districts that those candidates will serve. So
right.
In the North Carolina House, we've got Robert Reeves the second, who's the incumbent Democrat. He's going to be facing off against George Gilson, who's the Republican. That's for the District 54 seat. And then for the District 23 Senate seat, Valerie Fischie, who's served the district for a long time in the state Senate. She's the Democrat, and she's facing off against Tom Glendening, who's the Republican.
Right, and that one's one we're keeping an eye on, too.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's just five races. I'm sorry, seven races, so there's a lot more on the ballot, but that's where our focus is going to be. So as part of our coverage, we're going to be publishing the questionnaires that we submitted to the candidates and they return, plus doing profile stories. This is kind of an overview of the main races. So our coverage really kind of kicks off this week, and it'll continue up right through Election Day.
Speaking with Bill Horner of the Chatham News and Record, chathamnewsrecord.com, and as he just said, papers will be hitting the stands tomorrow as well. Now, when it comes to elections, especially a local election, there's always discussions of newspaper candidate endorsements for publications mm-hmm. like the News and Record, and you know, some like to do it and some don't, because it's a great way for them to, I guess, push the paper's values out to the community as well and kind of tell the residents how they stand on things. But I'm curious if the Chatham News and Record does that at all, and or if they're planning on doing it for this upcoming
sure.
election.
Right, yeah, great question. And we do not do candidate endorsements. And it's interesting to look over the years at, and it's typically your daily papers. A lot of community papers do not do endorsements. So when we talk about endorsements, what we're actually talking about is when the newspaper will come out on the editorial page. This is not done on the news pages. It's done on the editorial page, where the newspaper will come out with an editorial that says, this is the candidate we like in this race, and this is why we like that candidate. So in my previous paper, I spent most of my career at the Sanford Herald in Lee County, and we did do endorsements for about 15 or 16 years. And, you know, I got a lot of stories from those endorsements that I could tell you, but we're not doing it at the Chatham News and Record. And really, I think the case for doing endorsements, I like the idea of doing it, because you can tell voters who are maybe undecided, give them a really sound reasoning about which candidate that we at the newspaper think is the best fit for the position. As I said, I've watched over the years, and it seems like every year you have a long list of daily, metro, small daily papers who go from doing endorsements to not doing endorsements, and then papers who go from not doing them to doing them. You know, one of the things that I know I've talked to Aaron about quite a bit in the past is how a lot of the larger newspapers particularly have gotten to be a little bit more editorialized in their news coverage.
Hmm.
And so I think that lessens the necessity for an endorsement. But I think for us, for a small paper and small community, it just doesn't make sense for us to do it. Again, in my previous paper, we did. And you know, when you go through that process, we went through a very lengthy process. So we actually had endorsement interviews where we would have the candidates come into our office and meet with us for 30 or 45 minutes, meet with our editorial board. We would provide them with lengthy questionnaires, and then we also had a candidate forum. So we got to see the candidates and speak to them two or three times and get, you know, really in-depth insights about the positions on issues. And I can tell you, in years and years of doing those, in 15, 16, 17 years of doing those, we had in my old paper, we had either three or four person editorial board. We had a tie vote maybe once, maybe twice. Usually there's a candidate that stands out pretty clearly. But again, for us at the Chatham News and Record, we're not going to do that. you know, we think that the voters, if they read our coverage, if they check out the candidates, and there's a lot of organizations that are going to be having forums this year, online forums, not in-person forums. But if you read through the questionnaires and read our stories, you should be able to make a pretty good decision about who you're going to vote for.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we strive for at Chapelboro as well, with doing our candidate intros and all the coverage that we do leading up to it, playing things on both the radio and on chapelboro.com. We also avoid from run away from endorsing specific candidates, just because I think it's along the same lines. You know, if voters need to make their own opinions, and our goal as a publication is to provide them with enough information to make it so they are deciding on their own, with plenty of knowledge about any of the candidates and various parts of both their platform, personalities, and everything else. So what you said makes sense to me.
Yeah, and you know, the challenge with that, especially now, is with the negative campaigning. So TV campaigning for candidates on a local level is not that big a deal, because TV is so expensive. But you think about direct mail. Direct mail has become really the battleground for candidates to really push their agenda. And, you know, anybody who's observed politics for a long time has seen this over the course of the years. What happened is campaigning is more about the other guy than about you. So you get these negative campaign mailers that are either sent out by one of the parties or by some kind of PAC, and they're very, very negative. So it's really easy to get confused or get, you know, dissuaded by information that's just not correct. And I think that's a good reason and a good rationale to do endorsements, because you can really become overwhelmed with the volume of rhetoric. And now, these days, especially with social media, I mean, if you're following candidates on Twitter and their Facebook page and their website, you're getting email messages from them, you can really get inundated with information. And when a lot of it's negative, it's really hard to navigate and negotiate through that to find out really what the candidate is about, what they stand for. And so, again, that's a good reason to do endorsements. And I think for us, you know, once we're past COVID, one of the things that we look forward to doing is actual candidate forums, where we actually have a public event. We actually had one scheduled last year and had to end up canceling at the very last minute. And we hope to do one this year, particularly since the ticket is so long, since the ballot is so long. But it's great to actually have a kind of a controlled environment where you can ask candidates questions directly and get straight answers, as opposed to, you know, sorting through their social media messaging.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking with Bill Horner, publisher and editor of the Chatham News and Record. So, papers hitting the stands tomorrow. Are there any stories that you want to let people know about as we wrap up?
Yeah, I tell you, we've got just a phenomenal story this week that is just so compelling. One of the most fascinating stories that we've had in a long time, really, that I've ever read. So the 19th anniversary of 9/11 is coming up this week, and Dwayne Walls Jr., who lives in Pittsburgh, he's a longtime Chatham County resident. He was in Manhattan on September 11, 2001. He was actually working he did construction work, basically, for like theaters, and he worked for Saturday Night Live and so forth. But he was doing some freelance work at the World Trade Center on September 11th, and he has written a 2,500-word article for us this week about 9/11, and it's just one of the most compelling things I've read in a long, long time. So there's a really great story about that I invite people to check out, because it's really his insights into what it was like being there at Ground Zero on 9/11. We've also got a really great story by Chapel Fowler about the Siler City Airport. There's been a lot of new construction and new improvements to the airport in the last few years, so we talked about that. And then Hannah McClellan, our reporter, was there at the United Way Day of Service. The United Way of Chatham County had a day devoted last Thursday to doing service projects in Chatham County, and we've got a story and pictures from that. And then, again, we've got the overview, a really long overview story about the election. And then we've got a really interesting story, excuse me, by our La Voce to Chatham team about the effort to get out and mobilize the Latino vote in North Carolina. So that and a whole lot more in the Chatham News and Record this week.
Yeah, it sounds like an absolutely packed issue. ChathamNewsRecord.com, and be sure to check newspaper stands tomorrow. Bill Horner, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and good talk to you.
4:46 here on the Hill. Up next, a look at weather.